In the modern understanding, we often only think of contract. When we get into a deal or when we get into some type of transactional offering, we always sign a contract. But a contract is so shallow because the terms of the contract can be broken at any time as long as we're willing to pay a fine for it. But a contract is not everlasting or forever because there is always a term or a timetable to a contract. But a covenant is different. A covenant is forever. As a matter of fact, in the ancient world, especially in the world of the Jews, when two parties enter into a contract, they had to sacrifice an animal, and they split that animal into half. And one side to the left, one side to the right, with the blood of the animal inside the cavities. And they would also make a trench or also a way for that two parties would walk in between the carcass of that animal. And with the blood on both of their sides, signifying that if I break the covenant, may the blood of the animal be also, may my blood be like the blood of the animal. That's how sacred a covenant is. That if we break the covenant, blood must be answered by blood. And the covenant is always sealed with blood. Imagine if that is only an ordinary covenant and it's already been sealed by the blood of an animal. Imagine God, when he signed his covenant with us, he signed it with the blood of his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ poured out for each and every one of us, beginning today at the Last Supper. And today the church wants me, it said very clearly in the Roman Missal and in the rubric, that I am to preach to you about the mystery of the Eucharist and to strengthen your faith and my faith with the divine and true presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not only about the washing of the feet. As a matter of fact, the washing of the feet can be optional in the rite of Holy Thursday. But what is important is that the Eucharist had to be strengthened because this is God's true gift for us. Every time we receive the Eucharist, it is not only a symbol. Every time we receive the Eucharist, we receive body and blood, soul and divinity of Jesus Christ, who had poured out his everything for us. His everything for us. What our eyes perceived at bread and wine are truly body and blood, soul and divinity of Christ. The substance of Christ, which we cannot see by our senses, but are there and are real, because he had given himself to us. We have heard in the second reading today from the first letter to the Corinthians, St. Paul said, I handed on to you what I myself had received, that on the night of the Last Supper, Jesus took bread and said, this is my body, and took wine and said, this is my blood. St. Paul wrote the first letter of the Corinthians about the year between 50 and 60 AD, even before the first gospel was written, the Gospel of St. Mark. And he said, I handed on to you what I myself had received. By that time, we already know that there had been a real apostolic tradition of what is truly present at every Eucharistic meal, at every Mass. That at every Eucharist, St. Paul said, I handed on to you what I myself have received, that Jesus had given his body and his blood for us. This is true love. Many times when people come to me and start to say, Father, I have a problem with my relationships, or I have a problem with my marriage, I always ask them, what is going on? They always said, In similar words, I don't feel like my spouse cares for me. I feel like I'm being neglected or that I'm being abandoned. Perhaps that is what we yearn for, being accepted, being loved. And we hear that at every Eucharist, we hear it at every Mass, in the words of the priest, at the Eucharistic prayer, I, on behalf of Christ, the altar Christus in persona Christi Capitis, in the person of Christ the Head, say to you the same words that Christ has said to his disciples. This is my body, this is my blood, given up for you. He didn't say, this is like my body, this is like my blood. It is not as simple. Is. This is his body, this is his blood, given up for you. It's a personal pronoun. He didn't use the word like us Texans, y'all. He used the word you. He died for you and for me, a personal pronoun. This is my body. This is my blood, given up for each and every one of us. Isn't that the most romantic things that we can ever hear? The Lord hath given up his everything for us. What more can we ask for? What more can we desire? What more can we imagine? What more can we demand? What more can we want from God? His body, his blood, his everything given up for us. So the question is, in my relationship with God, in your relationship with God, in our relationship with God, have we given our everything to God, or are we still treating him as a friend with benefits? Oftentimes, we treat him as a friend with benefits. We come to him when we need him, and when we're done with him, we put him away and go on with our lives. That's not a relationship. That's simply a shallow satisfaction and pleasure. He had given his body and blood for us. So we too, every time we receive the Eucharist, we should say the same thing. My Lord, I'm giving my body, my blood, my everything for you. Lord, I love you. Just as you have given me your everything, I want to give you my all. I love you, Lord. And that love with the Lord will define our relationship with other people, beginning at our family. And so we ask ourselves this, when we receive the Eucharist, are we willing to live the Eucharistic life beginning with our family, yet or not? Every time we receive the Eucharist, are we willing to give thanks and to be grateful for the gifts of what God has given to us with the vocation that he has given to us at beginning with our family, yet or not? Do we treasure one another? Do we help one another grow in the faith? Do we recognize God's presence in one another? Or are we still treating one another as an object? God and his relationship with us define every other relationship. If we truly receive the body and blood of Christ and be grateful for what he has given us, we ourselves need to give the gift of ourselves to others as well. Every time we hear and every time we receive, every time we open our hearts to embrace the Eucharist, we need to also become Eucharistic in the way that we give the gifts of ourselves to one another. So beginning with our family and also beginning with the people that we don't like. That's what it means to be Eucharistic, to give thanks always. For God had already vindicated the world and he had given himself for us. That's it, the cause of rejoicing and the cause of our hope and the foundation of our faith. I received a very beautiful advice from a priest that I would call an old fart priest. He would be the one who would always have stain on his shirt, you know. But I respect him a lot. And he said, "This Koi, there will be times as a priest that there people around you will not understand you. But there is one person who will understand everything that you have, everything you're going through. Do not be afraid to go in front of our Lord Jesus Christ in the Eucharist and pour your heart out to Him." And he told me, it is perfectly fine to cry with Him, to yell at Him. Sometimes, if you're too angry, you can cuss at Him, but you have to go to confession. It's all right to pour everything you have to the Lord. He is there. He will always listen. He is always with you. That priest now is no longer with us, but I still remember that advice that he gave me before I got ordained as a priest. Today, my brothers and sisters, I don't know about you. This whole day, I was reflecting on my own priesthood. Today, Holy Thursday, God, our God, and Lord Jesus Christ instituted the priesthood. And every time I celebrated Mass for you, I always pray for you. And I'm so grateful. Each time I get to celebrate Mass, I get to act in persona Christi capitis for you. And is it easy? The answer is no. I have my weaknesses. I have my limitations. I get tempted. But also, at the same time, I have also learned to say, "Lord Jesus, I want to love you with my vocation. I want to give my all to you, for your people, for your church. I offer to you the possibilities of having no children, no family, not knowing what's going to happen, because I love you, O Lord." And each and every one of you too are called to a different vocation. And there are going to be temptations. There are going to be limitations. There are going to be times of weaknesses. But you are also called and are invited to say, "Lord, help me to be faithful to what you have called me to. Help me to give myself completely and totally to the vocation that you have given me. Help me, O Lord, that I have received your body, your blood. I also give my body, my blood, my everything to those who are around me. I pray for you today, and I ask you to pray for me. Pray for me as your priest. Pray for me as your parochial administrator. Pray for me as a human being. Pray for me as your brother, that I may be faithful to what Christ had called me to be, his priest. And I will pray for you every time I celebrate the Eucharist."